My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
But the number one thing for me is my people at Turner get to keep their jobs for at least another year. That's all I was concerned with.
Charles, how much money do you think that you left on the table in making that decision concerned about others?
A minimum of $100 million.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Javi Baez lifts it deep left field. Rosarena back at the track and the wall. And that got up and over and around the hole. It didn't go down, but it did go over. It's a two-run shot.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Soto drives it in the air. Deep right field. He has done it again. Juan Soto. His first career three.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome in. Happy Wednesday morning to ya. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Andy Dirt Johnson here, Jason Swigart here. No Brandon Sprague today. He's out for the rest of the week.
He's camping.
Little camping trip. Little camping trip for Sprager.
I don't know that he wouldn't rather be here.
Oh, he absolutely would rather be here. He absolutely would. I'm already dreading those, like, as you get older, and I don't know how much of that is his kids wanting to go camping or being into camping, but having to do the trips that you don't want to do, like the vacation days that you don't want to take because it's a family vacation or something for the kids, I'm already dreading those days. Like, I have planted my flag for many years that I will not be going to Disneyland. I'm not going to do the Disneyland thing. I hate roller. I hate rides, crowds.
I dodged it.
I don't want to do anything with Disneyland.
That was partially due to the fact that I was divorced.
Sure.
So,
did she take him? Did he go to Disneyland?
I think they had a Disneyland trip at some point. I know he went to Legoland when he was.
Now, where's Legoland at?
I think it's in San Diego or somewhere between Orange County and San Diego.
Like, you have a better. I would be okay going to Legoland. Going to San Diego is a little bit more enjoyable to me. And you don't. I mean, I'm assuming there's not super long lines to see all the Legos. There's just Legos everywhere.
I don't know. Just just the whole thought. I did Disney World when I was just out of college with my to-be first wife.
Okay. Now, was she in? She into Disney? Was she like into?
Not necessarily. I think it was a family thing.
Okay, let's go with the family. We'll go
so
ride some
whatever,
rides.
But we were not far out of college, so we still had our college IDs, which got you discount tickets at Disney World.
That's right, your student ID.
So
student discount.
And then they still had, in the middle, the cool thing there, Epcot was cool. Like, that part, I was down with.
Yeah, enjoyable.
The whole rides thing. Epcot was cool. But then there was, in the middle of the park, they had a, it was called Pleasure Island. So they had all these different themed nightclubs. So there were bars. So there was a Western bar. There was a comedy club. There was a dance club. There was a jazz club.
So there were things as an adult that you could
and
go
then,
enjoy.
And that was the place that then at midnight, there was a central outdoor area with the stage. And essentially, they treated it like New Year's Eve every night. And they would shoot off fireworks and confetti cannons at midnight. And
have a big show.
So, yeah. And so your daily pass into the park got you into that.
See, that at least is passable.
I think that's been totally redeveloped into something else. Now it does not exist.
Yeah. Well, it's also a double whammy because if you have kids, you're not going to that. If you're taking your kids to Disney World, you're not going out for the fireworks show at midnight.
You brought the nanny with you on the trip and have double rooms and
somebody's
that
watching
sort of
the
thing.
Kids. Let's go out for a night out, honey. He begrudgingly was leaving yesterday to go camping and just at least he's got a cabin this time. It doesn't have to sleep on the ground, but he's the kind of guy that it seems like more and more is getting dragged into outdoor activities, and he is not an outdoor activity kind of guy.
No.
And that's not a good spot to be in.
No.
And so I'm gonna try and die on this hill as long as I can. Yes. I know that I'm not gonna win this battle. I'm gonna have to take vacations for the kids.
If you have support, if the lovely Mrs. Dirt is not into real outdoorsy. There's a difference between wanting to go to the beach in a cool cabin with a fireplace and a glass of wine with big windows looking out versus
we're in the middle of the trees in the woods.
All right, let's go hike up into Mount Hood National Forest to an isolated lake.
Right, put
and
a tent down.
We have to take everything we're going to need, food, whatever, with us. I did that as a kid. That's not fun.
It's not fun at all. My brother and his family went on a camping trip recently, right before our Sun River trip, and I saw my niece, who is now, I don't know, 11 or 12 as we were getting ready to go to Sun River, and I asked how the camping trip was, and she said, well, my back hurts because I was sleeping on a rock for two nights. And then as we were in Sun River, my brother was like, randomly stretching out his shoulder one day, just sitting on the couch, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why is your shoulder hurt? How are we just that old? You just wake up with shoulder pain now. And he said, no, I slept wrong when we were camping on the ground, and now I'm dealing with shoulder pain out of it.
Yeah.
So I know the wife, I think, wants to get into camping. I think she would like to be a camp. She went camping as a kid, but
there's degrees.
There's absolutely degrees.
Like if she convinces you to I think we should get, if you want to get a trailer or a fifth wheel or whatever, there's that.
Blow up a mattress and just put it in the back of the truck bed. I'll sleep
versus, let's rough it. Yeah.
No, thank you for that.
No.
So he's going camping for the rest of the week. We have kind of a weird schedule this week. So I had already planned to be out tomorrow because I'm playing in the Cleveland Alumni Golf Tournament. They have invited me to come play, and I'm very excited. I never get to do it, and I thought, you know what, this year I'm asked do it every year, and I'm going
to
go do it.
You need to find out if there is a Cleveland Park Rose matchup.
On the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of boycotting my high school a little bit until they put me in the Hall of Fame. So this is like my first foray back into
Brandon Ayuk all of a sudden.
I am. You know, get the deal
Hassan
done here.
Hassan Reddick.
I hear names that go into the Hall of Fame and I think I'm better than how am I not in that guy's in the Hall of Fame and I'm not in the Hall of Fame. What are we doing here?
Wow.
Okay. So there's a little bit of a boycott going on. So this is we're trying to de-ice the relationship. I'm Hassan Reddick. They're the Jets.
Okay.
We need to get communication lanes back open. So tomorrow is a big day for me at
there
the Cleveland Alumni.
You cutting a check?
The Cleveland Alumni Golf Tournament. I am not cutting a check. That is definitely not happening.
That's usually what these golf tournaments are for.
No, my buddy owns a business who is sponsoring the tournament, and so he got a free foursome into it, and he was the one that sent me the text. Was like, hey, you want to play? The foursome's covered. Yep. I said, yeah, sure, I'm in. Free foursome, let's go. It's not costing me a dime. It's going to be a great free day of golf. So I'm out tomorrow, and then Sprague is obviously out the rest of the week. I'll be back on Friday. Tomorrow, Patrick Harris is going to be in filling in.
Yeah, Will's in for me. I'm going on my one-year delayed trip, family graduation gift for the son.
1 year later, better late than never.
Exactly.
I do want to ask, though, I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, how much vacation brain do you have right now? Because I know the feeling of on the brink of going to Hawaii, and I think the last show I am so mentally checked out.
I
can't be bothered.
Fairly here.
Fairly here.
Last couple of days, I've been making an obscene amount of trips to Target for the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking to my mom down there is like, do you guys have this in the condo? Do we need to bring this? And so, yeah. And there's at least two more trips today afterwards.
You got to go haul but everything out.
All the laundry is done. Well, 95% of the laundry is done.
Okay.
So we did a lot of the packing last night.
You got all the nice clothes cleaned. All of so, yeah,
my dry cleaning, the stuff, my dry cleaning stuff will be picked up this afternoon.
Okay.
Because there's certain Tommy Bahama things that have to be dry cleaned.
I mean, we got
to
handle with care here. So, we can't have no shrinking.
We are going to, we have reservations at the Tommy Bahama restaurant right there in Wailea for Sunday night. Nice little family celebratory dinner.
Oh, yeah.
The fishing, charter is ready to go Friday morning with packs.
So you flying out tomorrow? You flying
we go
out today?
Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., baby, okay. Direct to Maui.
Oh God. That's the best flight on the planet.
So we decided.
Best flight on the planet.
Yeah. So we decided we should get a rental car. Parents have a car, but, it's like, no, we want to be able to, you know, just go.
Yeah, you want to be able to, bail on whatever you need to do or go to whatever beach you want
to
go to.
Not like, bother them, not make a production out
of
it.
Hey, what do you guys need the car later? We need the car. How do we trade this off? Yeah.
So, yeah, we've looked at a couple of other possible things that we might want to do there.
Because the challenge with the Hawaii trip is the balance of how much do you want to fill it with activities and how much do you want to fill it with, I'm just taking a blanket and I'm going to lay on the beach all day.
Yeah.
And go jump in the ocean, then come back, take a couple of books.
We got to hit snorkel bobs there
Get
there so we can rent the snorkel gear for the week.
Okay. All right.
That's crucial.
Look at this. Look at all this excitement building.
And so,
I'm jealous.
So, yeah.
Man.
And then, I asked Pax, like, is there anything else you want to do? You know, you want to go zip lining or something like that? He's like, nope.
Yeah.
So we did the fishing right away because the charter, if we catch something,
you want to be able to cook it.
We can keep as much of it as we want.
Right.
And they have some other friends that are coming in as we overlap a couple of days, but that'll be there the week following us. So
gotcha.
We can take, like, okay, how much freezer space do you have?
All right.
You know, that's
we're gonna
sort
fill
of thing.
You up for the rest of the summer, man. You're
and
set.
I got friends asking me, it's like, can you ship it? And I was like, I'll find out.
I'm sure you could probably figure that out.
I'll let you know what it costs.
I mean, Kevin Todd once sent us some stone crab from Miami, Florida, randomly.
Well, this is
showed
live,
up in our studio,
you know, flash freeze straight out of the ocean, boom, jet.
Oh,
so I can't imagine the shipping costs, sir.
No, it's not going to be.
So if we catch a mahi or an ono or something, I just want him. I want the picture of him next to something.
Holding the big fish.
Well, on the big scale at the dock.
Oh,
that's
hell yeah.
As big as him. So.
Well, it's going to be great. I know that the Hawaii trip, the split between the landing terminal and a Hawaiian airport and a departure terminal in a Hawaii airport is one of the funniest scenes you'll ever walk through in life. Of the excitement of walking off the plane. You get laid immediately. It's 85 and sunny. You're just, tropical vacation begin. Whereas in the other terminal over, it is the death stare of, I have to go back to reality now. And there's no worse split of happiness to sadness than in a Hawaiian airport.
Oh, I
one
think
terminal
it's,
to the next.
I think it's Vegas.
You think Vegas is worse? Yeah, the tropical vacation thing does it for me. So I'm jealous. So we're going to be a little discombobulated the rest of the week. But we will make it happen. We'll make it work. And then we'll all be back to full strength when Swag's back from vacation next week, and Sprague will be back on Monday. We do have a bit of bad news to pass. Maybe I'll do this in the next segment.
Yeah, next segment.
It's we were hit with a whammy yesterday.
It's not bad news. It's sad news.
Sad
for
news.
Us.
Yes.
It's not bad.
Nobody died. Everybody's fine. We're all doing okay.
It's we all feel wonderful for whom this is happening to.
Just a bummer
and massively jealous.
Just a massively jealous and absolutely bummed because I look forward to it every week. So if you weren't on social media. Yesterday, I'll tell you what that is. We do have a lot to get to. So we're running a little bit late on the dirty poll because I decided to go on vacation at a bad time, and we can't start the dirty poll if I'm not here.
True.
So we're like five or six teams behind of where we need to be for the kickoff of week one.
You guys will need to double up a
I'm
lot.
I'm doubling up. So we're doubling up today, and I'm going to double up again on Friday.
Beautiful.
So it'll be a little confusing today because we're going the number 19 team.
No, 18.
Or excuse me. We're doing the number 17 team at 7:30 and the number 18 team at 8. So we're not quite going in order,
That's
but we're
okay.
close. So at at 7:30, we will do a preview of the Miami Hurricanes, a big year for Mario Cristobal.
Yeah.
We'll go down to Miami and get the thoughts on that roster, which should be loaded, the backfield of the Pac-2 and Cam Ward and Damian Martinez. So that's coming up at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, we will go to Manhattan, Kansas, where you have been.
I have been, and I've enjoyed a Manhattan in Manhattan,
Kansas.
How do you
not? Out in the middle of nowhere, man. It's farm country right there.
Hey, that's a gorgeous campus. It's
beautiful.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
But the people that have pumped money into that thing.
Yes.
Every athletic facility building has either been built or seen significant upgrades within the last 3 or 4 years.
Relatively recently.
Yeah.
Reminds me a lot of Pullman, where you get there, you're like out just hayfields. Hey, look at this. It's a campus. Kind of similar in Manhattan. It's out in the middle of nowhere. So we'll go to Kansas State at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. For a preview on Kansas State. And then we'll double dip again on Friday to try and catch up a little bit to make this a little more manageable.
We do have a statter story.
We do have a statter story at 8:15. So we have an absolutely loaded show. It is a Wednesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll start with the sad news from yesterday. And this response from an athlete, is it coping or is there some honesty there? It is a loaded show. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We're back after this on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, welcome back in. We'll get to some NFL stuff. Lots going on. Will Brandon Ayuk ever get traded? The latest updates on that.
Well, I think it's there.
More
if he
no
wants
news
to be right now.
There's more no news. 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 No news. I don't know. That's going
on. There's less news on Hassan Reddick.
That there is. They have gone dark in New York, and we have an injury to a starting quarterback potentially in the NFL. So we got a lot of NFL notes to get to. I'll get to a basketball take here that I saw, and I chuckled at, but I wonder if anybody thinks there is validity to it. Before I do, though, This came across the wire yesterday. So our good buddy Ken Barkley and Nick Costos, they host You Better You Bet.
Yes.
Which is, and we were actually ironically texting him yesterday.
I had text Ken and I said, hey, we paid no attention to the calendar.
No.
And we all happen to be on vacation.
We're not here.
On Thursday. We have guest hosts. Would you like to come on?
Right.
Or would you like to come on with Dirt either Wednesday or Friday? And blah, and it was like radio silence.
Radio silence.
And I was like, he must be on the air because he's usually pretty good about getting right back to me.
Yes, he is. And so.
And then Sprague texted us.
He did. Yes. So I see an announcement from them on Twitter that they had a big show announcement, and I enjoy watching their show. It's a really good gambling show, good content. They have a lot of fun. And I love Ken when he comes on Thursdays. And so I see this big show announcement. I'm like, I wonder what it is. I'm going to dive in. And I'm just, you know, listening on my phone yesterday in the middle of the afternoon. And they start the show. They go back and forth a little bit. And then Ken Barkley announces that he is leaving the radio show and he is leaving gambling content to become a professional gambler. He is in such a good spot after the last year that he has had, and he jokingly told us if he wanted to go buy a Ferrari, he could go buy a Ferrari.
Yeah.
After the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup, that he is in such a good spot that he wants to see if he can give this a go for an entire year and see if he can make a genuine living on it.
Think about Matt Damon's character at the end of Rounders.
Yes, he's making that decision and he has decided.
And went there,
I'm all
got
in.
Through Teddy KGB,
yes.
Got his money back, got Worm out of the hole.
Right, pay him his money.
And now it's like, you know what?
I'm going pro.
Let's not bother with law school right now.
No, let's not do that. And I, you know, he
let's
understands.
Go put my seat at the table.
How much of a grind it is to prepare a 4-hour show Monday through Friday. That's a lot of work. And they do shows on Sundays during football season. Like that's an absolute grind for people who are, you know,
plus,
we don't work
he's
long
doing,
hours.
I mean, he's doing our market, but he's doing I don't know how many
of
those
hits.
He does.
Yes.
2 or 3 a day, probably.
It's a massive workload. And so he is leaving. And in the segment, I'm listening and I'm like, man, this is a total bummer. And I'm starting to wonder, what is this mean, like, are we losing Ken Barkley? And then he adds at the end of his, you know, line about leaving the industry for at least a calendar year that he's not doing any media appearances. He's shutting it all down. He's not doing any social media. He is diving headfirst into professional sports gambling. So the initial reaction was genuine jealousy of like, God, that's awesome. How cool is that? Of like getting to a point where you've cashed so many bets that this, I'm just going to do this now every day. I'm going to wake up.
Take my
shot. I'm going to look at lines. I'm going to research, see who's in, see who's out. Like just the absolute dream of all of us degenerates. Now we're terrible gamblers and we'll never get there, but he knows what he's doing.
My little $3 14 parlay blew up very quickly in Detroit last night.
Yes. Mine on Friday night did not make it very far. This is why we love having Ken on to make fun of our parlay. And so Sprague then texted him and asked, you know, hey, you know, basically said, congratulations. This is awesome for you. We know that you're not going to come on anymore because you said no more media appearances, but we'd love to check in like a year. You know, just hit us up. If you're ever looking to scratch that itch and you want to talk, we'd love to have you on the show. And he said that I will come on next Thursday for a farewell Ken Barkley hit. So next Thursday at 8 o'clock.
What's the play?
We will get our final Ken Barkley hit.
Appropriate. Opening night of the true college football season.
Yes.
I got my calendar.
We're going into,
going into week one.
Oh, no, next week's week zero.
Oh, okay.
Because week zero is the 24th. I know, my calendar's all off too. This is the last weekend without football, and then next weekend is week zero, and then week one. So we'll at least get him going into week one.
Exactly.
Get some fun, who knows how
we'll
much
get
gambling.
Get some futures bets. His thing is the futures market. That's where he's had quite a bit of success.
Yes. He likes the Jets this year. I make fun of him, but he likes the Jets this year.
Well, we'll see how much he likes them if the Reddick thing doesn't get solved. But the big thing is what he told us after the Panthers is he's if the OKC Thunder pull it off and win an NBA title.
He's definitely not coming back to gambling
content.
Then
I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
That's another massive payday. So we spent the rest of the afternoon speculating how much money he cashed on his Panthers tickets. And we sent out a tweet about this at Dirt and Sprague. Go follow our show page. But just very, very genuinely sad because I look forward to that segment every week. Ironically, I always forget to tag him in the show teases that we do. And it's not because I don't enjoy the segment. It's just because I'm an idiot. And I even wondered, like, I haven't even been doing those lately. Is there any listener out out there that sees those tweets the night before at 9 o'clock and thinks, all right, tomorrow at 6:15, I got to make sure to tune into this segment. I don't know if that even applies. So ironically, I would always forget to tag him in the tweet. But it was genuinely one of my favorite segments of the week. And I have buddies who have told me that's their favorite segment of the week. Listeners were tweeting us yesterday that they were devastated by this. I did love the joke line of Sprague came on too strong and we pushed him away. The second we made the open, he's like, dude, I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm getting out of media, man. I'm not even coming on your show. So Sprague was a little too aggressive, a little too over the top.
No, I can genuinely say for... Because that was part of the gig for BetQL. They were when they first were going with BetQL, I think all of our shows initially were supposed to have somebody.
Yes. We had somebody
else
initially.
We had Chelsea Messenger, and it didn't quite work out. And then we had Ken filling in one time, and we're like, man, if we can make that work. He genuinely enjoyed this conversation above most of the other traditional rapid fire. You know.
Yes. We have a lot of fun with him, and I'm going to miss him.
And so he,
R.I.P. Ken. He's not dead, but R.I.P. Ken.
I figure at some point he will do so well, they'll decide, you know what? We've never really seen the Pacific Northwest.
Let's come on out.
And he's just going to text one of us one day. He's like, hey, I'm rolling through Portland.
Are you serious?
Exactly. Mind if I stop by and say hi?
Come on in, Ken. There come on in. The water's warm. So we're wishing a very good luck to Ken Barkley. Incredibly jealous of him for
getting
to do
this. Very jealous. I was like, man.
Like, of all the dream things.
I mean, there's been a lot of guys that wrote books about, you know, gaming and all that stuff. But his journey and kind of how he developed into it and how through the course of the wagertainment piece with BetQL, he formulated... Yeah. His processes, his systems, or whatever it was, because he's incredibly disciplined. He, like most professional gamblers, doesn't get too emotionally tied up.
Nope.
Although he was gripping a little bit with the Panthers.
when they were slowly blowing a 3-0 series lead.
We could feel it.
But they won game seven, and that's all that matters.
Because he seems more of a regular guy, for lack of a better term. That made it work.
He did, man. And one listener did tweet us and said, well, you're technically trading Ken Barkley for Josh Pate, which we are. If you missed that announcement yesterday, Pate will be on with us every Wednesday.
Yeah, we're set to go.
Starting next week. So we're very excited about
that. Let's hope we don't screw this up.
We probably will. We'll push him out of the industry, too. He's just going to, like, go into college football coaching and be like, I'm out. Sprague's going to come on. Actually, I'll probably come on too strong on this one because I'm the Pate P1 here. And so we're trading Ken Barkley for Josh Pate starting next week, but we will get one final hit from Ken Barkley next Thursday at 8 o'clock. So mark it down on your calendar. Give yourself a reminder. We love Ken. We've enjoyed that segment. Listeners are already texting in. Losing Ken's tough. I was looking forward to giving my friends his preseason picks. He's 3-for-3 already. He's undefeated on our show in preseason picks.
I know.
And we need a couple of final bets. So we'll get that from Ken next Thursday at 8 o'clock. And he's not dead.
You know what I like?
But RIP.
You know what I don't like? Joke.
Ken Barkley on our show. One final time. One final ride into the sunset next Thursday at 8 o'clock. We did not get to the basketball question there. So I will ask again, is this coping or is there something to this? As a former NBA player with a comment coming off of the Olympics this past weekend, we'll get to that. We'll start diving into some NFL stuff at 6:45. One college coach is concerned about his roster, and I think this signals the strength of the sport as a whole right now. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. We're back after this. All right, we'll start diving into some football stuff in a bit. We also have the results of the opening preseason weekend and how it looked with the new kickoff rule. We had a surprise safety. Did you see that?
I missed that one.
There was a safety this weekend.
I didn't take a lot. We had it was a hops weekend, so I did not take in a lot of preseason action.
I think the team that got the safety is still trying to figure out, wait, how was that a safety? And the NFL needs to, like, we need to make sure this is ironed out before the season begins. So we'll dive into some of the numbers, what some of the coaches are saying, because it's a pretty fundamental change of the sport. So that's coming up in a bit as well, on top of some Ayuk and quarterback injury news. The Olympics happened over the weekend. Sometimes I get nauseated by this entire climate that we live in and the media landscape that we live in, that it has to turn into this debate over...
Why can't it just be...
Enjoy it. They won the gold medal. It was a great game. It was
Steph
fun.
Steph was unbelievable.
Awesome. Instead, it's a yelling match of, could this team beat 92? Should Steph have won the MVP? Why did LeBron win the MVP? Steph should have won the MVP. It just... Anyways, they win the gold medal this weekend, which is a very big deal. And there was one man who was sitting courtside for basically all their games that some people credited for being the actual coach of Team USA, Carmelo Anthony. He was on the sidelines yelling things at people. My favorite part about this, too, total squirrel moment, but I mentioned this earlier in the show. Stephon Marbury was sitting next to him. Did you notice that watching the gold medal game?
No.
So Stephon Marbury was there, which I'm not quite sure why, but he was there as well, sitting next to Melo. And after the game was over, I mentioned this, I think on Monday, that Steph hit that big three. They win the gold. It's the game's over. Steph walks up, gives Melo a big hug, and they give Stephon Marbury a big hug. And I think Stephon Marbury was live streaming on Instagram while he was sitting courtside. LeBron then walked up and gave a big hug and a handshake to Carmelo Anthony because they were obviously great friends, same draft class, and basically snubbed Stephon Marbury. Like, I don't know if he did know who he was.
Nice of the NBA
if there was a personal beef, like, I don't know. And so that has then led, I keep seeing tweets pop up this week where Stephon Marbury is doing these media hits saying that LeBron doesn't belong anywhere in the GOAT conversation. He's not even better than Kobe. And I'm laughing my ass off every time I see this. There's your subplot. So Melo is there. Obviously, we all remember Olympic Melo, and he wins. He won three gold medals during his playing career. And he was doing an interview. Somebody sat down with him, and he had a take that I'm wondering how much of this is coping about the way his NBA career went, or is there any validity to this? Here's what he had to say about the difference between gold medals and NBA titles.
Would you trade your three Olympic gold medals for one NBA ring?
I've never been asked that question. No. When we talk about global sport, for me, a medal means something totally different than an NBA championship. They both have their own separate meanings, but winning a gold medal, it's the passion, it's the pride that you have, not just for a city or a state, for a whole nation, for a whole country, you're winning for. So it's a different level of, I would say, pride that you have to have when you're wearing USA across your chest or you're wearing Lithuania across your chest, right? It's a totally different feeling than Knicks, New York, across your chest.
By the way, loving the slow jams behind that.
Absolutely.
Quality beat work right there.
Quiet storm there.
are we doing a, is this a coping response or is there some validity to
this? No, I think that sounded genuine from him. Now, he never got all that close to really sniffing an NBA title, so
no,
maybe
conference
there's,
title in Denver one
maybe
time.
Maybe there's some perspective there. Yeah. But no, I think they're two different things.
It's interesting because I feel like these...
He may lament or regret, you know, not really having an opportunity to play for an NBA title. I would argue some of that is on him for how he went about his NBA career.
Yes, it is.
But no, I think he's like, no, there's no regrets playing for Team USA or what we did or what we accomplished. They were all special, and it was something that was unique unto itself, and I wouldn't ever want to change that thing. Would you have liked to win an NBA title? Absolutely.
Of course, right?
So I get that. I understand that.
It's funny that I don't feel like these ever get brought up, and maybe it's fair that they don't, but whenever the legacy stuff comes up, like Barkley's a prime example of this,
yeah.
And he's on TNT, and Shaq's always, you know, chiding him for, you know, he didn't win a championship, and I got all these titles, and Kenny got a couple of titles, and Chuck's got nothing.
I think that's more about just the fraternity and guys that played.
Totally.
Rather than...
But it's never brought up in the way of you didn't win an NBA title, but you have a couple... Did Barkley win two gold medals or just one? I know he was there in 92.
He was on the 92
team. Was he on the 96 team?
I think he was... Let me look.
He was still on it. He was still playing at a pretty high level in 96, yeah. I want to say. So, I mean, he probably took home two gold medals. It's just funny how this stuff never gets brought up. And I'm, you know... Maybe I'm outside the bubble on some of this stuff, and
he was there on the 96
on the 96 team. So he got two gold medals and no NBA titles. And I'd be curious to ask him the same question: would you trade your two gold medals, maybe your experience on the Dream Team, for an NBA championship, which would cement your legacy? Because there's two athletes that championships matter more than any other for, and they are starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yes.
And they are star players in the NBA.
Yep.
And it's because of mainly Jordan and now Brady that we do this pea-sized contest of how many
NFL
do you have and how many
started,
have you won.
It started with Joe Montana.
Sure, maybe Joe Montana had four.
Because he never lost when he got to the Super Bowl, similar to Jordan. But now Brady's got, and I think the fact that Tom went there, like,
10 times.
Seemingly every other year.
He won
year.
7 and went to 10.
It's ridiculous. So
a number that will never be matched.
Yeah.
But it's the only two sports and the only two like primary athletes where, like, we don't do this with baseball. Nobody holds us against some of the, like, how many?
I think we do in hockey. I think there's something about winning a cup.
Okay. There's something to that for sure.
For the very best players.
Okay.
I think for the scoring guys, the goal scorers or the leading point scorer.
That's fair.
You know. That's what's going on with McDavid right now.
Yeah, he got close to a game 70, but he didn't get over the hump and win it.
Plus, you play for a franchise that saw Messier and Gretzky
win a whole bunch of them.
So it's like, well, you're ridiculous, but
it's funny how it doesn't stick to baseball guys. Like, nobody brings this up largely. Griffey's put into the greatest of all time category. Yeah. Nobody says, well, he didn't win a title, and if he won a title, he would have been the greatest of all time.
And a lot of that had to do with, you know, if you go back not that all long ago, before Major League Baseball went to the wild card, it was just so hard. There were so few playoff opportunities.
And the two best teams, that was it. There was no playoff. You just go. There was a pennant winner in the AL and a pennant winner in the NL. Yeah. Whoever had the best record would go play in the World Series. And then you expanded the playoff. Like, Mays only has one, and he's widely considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. I can't even tell. How many rings does Hank Aaron have? I have no clue off the top of my head. And that's very strange because we can tell you, for most of the primary athletes in other sports, I can tell you immediately how many rings does Kobe have, or Jordan, or LeBron, or Bill Russell, or Magic, or Bird. Like, you go through all that and you know it immediately. I do think there's some validity to the camaraderie that they feel and the experience of going overseas, playing with the best players in the world, representing your country. I do absolutely think, though, that there's a tinge of coping here, and that if you told him with some true serum that you hit Melo's legacy, if he would have brought an NBA championship to New York, think about how much differently he's talked about in the landscape of the NBA historically, as opposed to, the guy was a really good scorer. He had a good NBA career, but he's often viewed as somebody that was a top three pick that didn't necessarily, quote unquote, live up to the hype, whether that's fair or not, but he didn't quite live up to that standard because he was at Syracuse for one year and he won a title.
Yeah, the label he always got in the NBA was he didn't elevate his team around him
because he couldn't win a championship.
LeBron or Magic or Kareem or Kobe or whoever.
So if he wins a title in New York or anywhere else for that matter, hell, I would have taken one in Portland, Blazer legend Carmelo Anthony.
No kidding.
Would have gladly taken one here. It's just funny to think how different the legacy and the conversation is about him. And I think this is part of my reaction. And again, maybe I'm outside the bubble on this, but Sprague would rant earlier in the week about that moment and how it's a top five basketball moment for him and seeing the gold medal game and Steph hitting that shot. And I'm just curious to see how that ages and how we view it in the years to come, because there are iconic moments in NBA finals that we will never forget. There are moments, there are shots, there are things that will truly live on forever in the history of NBA basketball, or just in the history of basketball. And I'm wondering, 10 years from now, are we still doing the, man, remember when Steph hit that shot against France, the way that we're doing, remember when LeBron blocked that shot? He chased down Andre Iguodala and blocked it off the backboard with a stupid sleeve jersey on, and then Kyrie Irving hit a three and they won game 7 on the road, erasing a 3-1 deficit. Like, I'm curious to see how it truly lives in that space, and if it is remembered and revered the way some of these other memories in that sport are, because that's the counter argument that I would make, is gold medals were great. I can't tell you. I mean, I remember Melo was good and we had Olympic Melo. I can't tell you a single moment that he had in the Olympics that stands out in my memory.
Well, you know what?
He's got three gold medals.
Yeah, you know what'll make that moment stand out more? Sad to say, but
if Wemby flips the script and they start losing, because then you would remember it as the time that the tide turned and that old guard of Steph, KD, and LeBron hung it up. And
if the U.S. comes in and in L.A. in 2028. And, you know, Anthony Edwards takes the next step, and who knows who's on that team, Cooper Flagg and, you know.
Yeah, your guess is Devin Booker will probably be back, but you got a lot of young guys that are now going to be filling that void.
Exactly.
That are unproven.
So whatever steps in, if they win another one, and they'll play close games,
I mean, this team did. The international competition is tough now, so than it's ever been.
Jokic, you know, if Serbia develops a few more guys and Jokic has a few more, you know, can they put a few more guys in the next few years in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a little bit more help around him. They could certainly win one. France is not. They got more dudes in the pipeline than you can.
Wemby's only going to get better.
He's going to get better.
He might be the best player in the league by then.
Well, yeah, and then look at the guys that just got drafted this last year.
Yeah.
And
yeah, multiple long, lengthy French players who are 7 feet tall. Yeah. Will they be good? Who the hell knows? But, yeah, I think that's a valid point, that if this ends up flipping, that we'll remember it a little more fondly. But if they go on and win another gold, like, Steph, that shot was incredible. That was cool to see them win the gold medal. Yeah. I just don't think we revere it as much as we do an NBA championship.
I think that'll help Steph is that's his only Olympic.
Yes. He had done everything else.
He'd done everything else, and for whatever reasons, injuries, or they went to the finals and he was gassed, or whatever the case, he didn't participate. So his one time, as you look back and we remember the career of Stephen Curry, he's just got the one Olympic run.
And that will stand
And it was signature because his best games were in the semis and the gold medal game.
Hitting unbelievable three-pointers late in that game. So Melo says he wouldn't trade his three gold medals for an NBA championship. Swag thinks there's some validity to it. I think he's coping a little bit.
I think he's genuine in his sentiment.
Yeah.
I think some of that is based on the fact that he was never really close to an NBA.
I think one conference final in his NBA career, if I'm not mistaken. New York might have gotten there one time, but I know he got there once with Denver, and then it all kind of blew up on him. Let's get to some football stuff, shall we? We got a quarterback that went down yesterday. Non-news on Brandon Ayuk, the story that just won't go away. The updates from the opening weekend of preseason and the kickoff results with the new rule. We'll start diving into some football stuff next on The Fam. Well, the story that just won't go away continued yesterday. Who's ready for their Brandon Ayuk morning update, huh?
Courtesy of Ian Rappaport.
Will he get traded? Will he not get traded? I don't know. So last week, the latest update was that the Browns and the Patriots had agreed on framework deals for Brandon Ayuk. And part of that framework is him signing a new contract extension at the age of 26. And he needed to approve and say, I'm willing to go to those two places. And then you get the reporting that New England has said, you know what, we don't really want him, which means that Brandon Ayuk said, no, I don't want to go there. And then there was a report that Cleveland had agreed on the trade and that he needed to agree to go to Cleveland. And Brandon Ayuk again said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to Cleveland. I don't want to go to New England. And this has gone over well in Cleveland because Amari Cooper was the guy that was tied into these negotiations as going back to San Francisco. And he then sent out a cryptic Instagram post that was like, sounds good to me. Like, I'd love to go. Can we do this? Can I go play for the 49ers, whether you trade me for Brandon Ayuk or not? So that's a great sign in early training camp that, hey, we wanted to trade you. Just kidding. We're going to keep you because Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to play with Deshaun Watson. Well, the latest reporting yesterday came out that the Steelers and the 49ers have agreed in framework on a deal for Brandon Ayuk. However, Brandon Ayuk has not signed off on it yet, and the 49ers have not fully signed off on it yet because they are still trying to reach a long-term contract extension. And there was some reporting on the NFL Network yesterday that said that Brandon Ayuk ultimately, this is now finally coming out, he wants to be a 49er. He doesn't want to be traded. He wants the contract that he demands. He does not want to be traded. And he's hoping that this continued negotiation will reach the point where they get to the money spot that he wants. Almost all the other details are figured out. I'm assuming they're just hammering out over total guarantees or, you know, all those little specifics in the financial details of a contract that he wants that he has not gotten yet. And so the Niners haven't agreed on this trade because they still think that they can ultimately sign Brandon Ayuk to an extension. What I would say for him, and I will end up being wrong on this. My money's been on him getting traded the entire time. It makes sense. They got all these big contracts. They got to pay Brock Purdy. You got, like, it's hard to keep everybody in the fold. And we saw this, I used the analogy earlier, like, we saw this with the Legion of Boom in Seattle, that ultimately there are going to be cap casualties. You cannot pay everybody. But Brandon Ayuk, if he elects to, I'm assuming, take a slightly downgrade in pay to stay in San Francisco would be making such a smart career move over going to Pittsburgh. And this is coming from somebody who respects the hell out of the Steelers. I am a huge Justin Fields guy, and I hope that he pops and has a great year this year. But it's like, would you rather play in that offense or in San Francisco? Would you rather play with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields or Brock Purdy, who has only gotten better in his 2 years in the NFL?
And an offensive mastermind as your head coach.
Yes, and to me, this is an absolute no-brainer. If they can find a way, to get it done. The Steelers' offensive coordinator is Arthur Smith, and as high as I am on the Steelers, he is my biggest concern, because let's not act like the guy did a great job in Atlanta getting all of his weapons involved. That's why, other than not drafting a quarterback or finding a quarterback, he ultimately ended up getting fired. So that's your offensive coordinator that you would go play for. And I just I think if you're Brandon Ayuk, man, there's a problem of people always thinking the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And I used Devontae Adams as an example last week in talking about this, of how do you think he's feeling in Vegas right now? Dude was playing with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, where they were competing for a title every year. And then the documentary comes out on Netflix, Wide Receiver, where he insinuates that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get him killed. He's so bad because he can't hit him in the chest when he's going over the middle, and he misses him on wide open deep shots. And he's a miserable human being. Yes, he got paid. He is a miserable human being. Do you want to be John Rahm and make a little bit more money? Yeah. Or do you want to be the guy that's still playing on a tour that matters and playing for the team and an offense that fits you? And it seems like this is going to ultimately lead to an extension being reached, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, and the tricky part is, whoever is advising Ayuk, I don't know who his agent is, if it's Rosenhaus or somebody else, but this is a tricky game of poker he's playing.
Yes.
He's trying to play both sides to get the best deal, but these are two organizations that will, at some point, they are organizations that say the organization is bigger than any one individual, no matter how good you are. The 49ers traded Joe Montana.
They did.
The Steelers they've gotten off of guys before. It's about the Steeler way. So they will reach a point, and I'm guessing it is very soon. It's like, hey, we've done everything we can. You got to make a decision. Is this good enough for you or not? Yeah. And we're moving on.
Yeah.
And he could get left with absolutely nothing. It's like, just play out your contract then and go hit free agents.
Well, or we'll tag you next year. We don't have to do this. Yeah, but they don't even have to trade him if they don't want to. You don't want to show up? Don't show up. That's fine.
So I feel like it's getting right to that point, and whoever is advising him needs to sit him down and say, this is the best you are going to get from Pittsburgh or San Francisco.
Yeah.
You got to make a decision. Here's what we think you should do, but this can't go on into the weekend, or the rug's going to get pulled out from underneath you.
The interesting part about it from the Niners angle, too, is they have seemingly been open to the idea of trading him, but part of that on their end has been getting something of value in return at that position. As I mentioned with Cleveland, they were going to get Cooper in return in that deal. If they did the trade with New England, Kendrick Bourne likely would be heading back to San Francisco. Shout out to Milwaukee High School. And so, like, you're getting at least a valuable piece that you can plug into that offense, and they're not Brandon Ayuk. I don't think anybody would argue that, but at least there's still value there. That's the part about the Pittsburgh trade that I look at for them, and I'm wondering, what they don't have. They're not trading you George Pickens. You're not getting that. Go look at the rest of the wide receivers on Pittsburgh's roster, man. There's not a lot there. And so you're not getting that valuable piece on the outside.
And I haven't seen what the framework of the draft equals. Maybe there's some draft picks.
I'm assuming there's draft picks that are involved, but the Niners, I think, are still in a win now mode, right? Like, they're trying to strike right now. And so that's where that deal has always been kind of funny to me, of I get why Pittsburgh wants to make that deal, but if you're San Francisco trading him to Pittsburgh, you're not getting necessarily, unless there's a third team or you figure something else out. They don't know what Ricky Pearsall is going to be. He's out right now. He's not a part of training camp. And so you're going to have to figure out who that other wide receiver is going to be. And so that trade hasn't made a lot of sense from San Francisco's angle. But I get why Pittsburgh's making a move there. If I'm a Steeler fan, I'm happy they're being aggressive, but the Niners ultimately are the ones in control of this situation, and it seems like the tea leaves now are reading they're going to reach an extension. I just hope this thing comes to an end sooner rather than later. This is the story that won't go away, the holdout that will not end between Brandon Ayuk and San Francisco. We've been talking about this basically all summer, and we're at like the 2-yard line. Are we there yet? Who the hell knows? But that's your latest update on Brandon Ayuk. I didn't get to the J.J. McCarthy injury news. That was devastating early on for him in his career, so we'll dive into that a little bit. The kickoff results from the opening weekend of preseason football. Why did the Chiefs suffer a safety this weekend? I will explain that to you. Do you understand the new kickoff rule? We'll dive back into the dirty pool coming up at 7:30. We got a lot still to get to. Back after this, second hour next on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.